I listen to the Black Guy You Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy You Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday, ready to do some podcasts. To find us everywhere you find podcasts, search the Black Guy You Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate those. We love those. When we get those, we read them on the air on our feedback show. The official weapon of the show is...
Bone chair.
And the unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme, extreme, extreme. And yeah, we're in the house on a Tuesday. Lots of stuff to talk about. Anything happened today? Anything? Any music drop this Tuesday?
Apparently it did.
And music used to drop on Tuesdays. I guess it's dropping on Tuesday again.
I guess kind of keeping the tradition in the 2024 rap beef. I just happened to be peeking online, and Poe Twitter was in shambles, and they just kept talking about Kendrick. I was like, oh, something must have happened with Kendrick.
Something happened to Drake.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I've seen, like, we might as well just talk about it now. I've seen a million takes on this Kendrick thing. I think the immediacy of it, and then the immediate reactions without having time to think and stuff, people are all over the place.
Yes,
of course you have your fan bases in it, which is you know, the thing I try to stay away from, because it's they're beefing, they're battling, right, with rap. I try to stay away from just like, well, I like this artist, so anything said about them is wrong, everything they say is right. It's not a fun way to view this to me, even though I'm a fan of all the artists basically involved in this. Mm-hmm. Kendrick has, you know, he did the Like That thing. That had to be over a month ago now when Like That dropped. The verse on Like That with Metro and Future.
Wow, that's that had a to month be over ago? A month ago, right? I don't know why it feel like it was 3 days ago.
I'll put it out to see if it got released April 20th. Oh, no, that says released April 20th. That's not 10 days ago. That's completely wrong. Mm-mm. March 26th. So we're talking about, you know, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, over a month ago. And that's the last time Kendrick said anything about any of these people. Mm-hmm. Since then, of course, he dropped. J. Cole, a week or so later, put out his song, 7-Minute Drill or something like that, that he ended up taking off of streaming platforms.
Like, you know what, my bad.
Yeah, couldn't sleep at night, said no matter what Kendrick said back to him, he was done responding, and he apologized.
He kept it real.
And I clowned him, but see, as each round gets progressively more intense, I apologize to J. Cole. Mm-hmm. Not because I couldn't sleep at night, but because I get why he couldn't sleep at night. This is really personal.
Yes, it is.
I don't think it's necessarily a game for Kendrick. I think he legitimately does not like Drake specifically. And I don't know if somebody got in Cole's ear and said, hey, man, you might not want to do that. And he just deleted it, or he just sensed it in the force, or what.
There was a disturbance in the force. He was like, you know what?
Mm-mm. But that man was right. Then Drake, of course, dropped, I think, Push-Ups. And then I believe it was Rick Ross that dropped Champagne Thoughts or something like that. Then Drake dropped another. I hope I have the order right. Then Drake dropped like another song with the AI with Tupac and mm-hmm. Snoop, which I wasn't really feeling. I understood what he was going for. It just didn't hit with me because I thought the Snoop and Tupac shit, I wish he had wrote it more in their voice.
Correct.
It would have hit harder.
Yes.
Even though, you know, he ended up having to take that down off of all platforms because the family of Tupac Shakur basically
was like,
said mm-hmm. cease and desist.
Right.
And on that AI Tupac song, that was the one where Drake was basically like goading Kendrick to respond, like, why are you taking so long? You know, and at this point it's funny because it had been like 3 or 4 weeks before Drake responded. So it's not like Drake hopped in the booth as soon as he dropped. And also, the only one that really responded like in a timely fashion was actually Rick Ross, because he got mentioned in that Drake song, and Rick Ross had a song out calling him White Boy within like 3 hours.
That might have been already prepared,
right? Like, I don't know how he just was.
He was like, prepared. "Oh, word! Go ahead and put the press up."
Right.
I had this sitting for weeks.
He looked at his butler and said, "Initiate protocol 5."
Yes.
Initiate protocol poutine, the poutine protocols. We Drake finally said some shit. So then, you know, it's been maybe another week or two of silence, kind of. You know, no one's jumped in any of the fray. No one's really responded. It's been some trolling online. Drake posted a picture of him in a Compton t-shirt, which I think is obviously, you know, trying to be funny or disrespectful to Kendrick, you know, like, ha ha, you know. And so it kind of turned into like more of a social media beef. Drake and Rick Ross were going back and forth with social media content and jokes and stuff like that. Not that it's not serious at all, but it just was more like, these aren't raps and I'm not as interested in this part of it. It's,
right.
You know, they're right if they want to do that, but it's just, I'm not in it for the memes. Like, it's fun. I'm glad that they're funny, but it means nothing to me.
Right. And then we had Chris Brown and Quavo's jumped in the mix somewhere in there.
Quavo, no S.
Okay, Quavo. Jumped in there somewhere in the mix, and
they have nothing to do with this stuff. Yeah. It's just they don't like each other and they start fighting.
Yeah, it's like you had one side of the club start fighting, the other side of the club. You know, I got beef with you too. Why everybody fighting? Let's get our licks in too. And I don't know how true it is, but they were saying that Chris Brown likes bought all the tickets out to Quavo concert, and so there were pictures online of like a handful of people at his concert.
Yeah. That was one of the things. Yeah, I had that article say social media users blame Chris Brown for low attendance at Quavo's recent concert. And the thing with Quavo's, like, the thing that they think is Chris Brown bought the tickets, but the thing that's interesting to me is like, that's where we are as a diss, is you spent a lot of money for me to not have a crowd at my show. Like,
but the tickets are sold.
Thank you.
Right.
You know, I don't know, but
I mean, hate on me like that. Sell out my show.
Right.
Shit.
Right.
I get a best fucking concert. All 10 of the people that showed up. We had a time of our lives.
Right. I think, I don't remember if it was this particular incident or not, but I think I saw JL Covan on Twitter say something like, I got to figure a way to get Chris Brown to hate me, you know?
Right! Like,
that would be nice. But yeah, they basically, I think I have some of the pictures from Twitter for that, where they basically people were taking pictures at the concert of how empty it was, and the fact that, you know, that it looked like a handful of people at the front of the stage and the rest of the place looked damn near empty. I guess this was his.
Yo, Chris Brown, are you serious, bro? I know you got something to do with this. Ain't nobody at my man Quavo's show today?
And I don't know if the chat can hear this or not. Let me know if y'all can't. I'll figure out a way to make sure y'all can hear it. But it's empty up in there.
Yo, Chris Brown, come on, bro. I know.
So it's empty up in there. Could y'all hear that in the chat,
yeah,
by the way?
Okay,
cool. Good. So I don't have to open an extra browser today. But yeah, it's just been kind of chaos on that end. Mm-hmm. And then Drake posted, like I said, he posted himself in the Compton themed t-shirt. That's what was that? That's not me.
Hold on.
Karen's being a professional, guys. We got some noise happening over there.
I get it right now. Keep talking.
Karen's going to take care of it. I got you guys. So Drake wore a Compton Community College t-shirt, to which some people are trying to, I think it's because it's Twitter, people took it the exact worst way, and maybe it is the worst way. But I think some people were trying to say it was about Kendrick's wife, who I guess attended Compton College. But once again, that's not proven. Us Weekly reported that Kendrick's wife went to California State University Long Beach. So who knows if that's like, I don't know if that's what he intended and he missed it, or he just want, but I think he's just trying to, I think this is like when you tell somebody they can get a free punch, or they gonna, you hit someone and you know they're gonna hit you back. And I think Drake is just like, can you please just hit me right now? Cause clearly, like, I'm tired of waiting and I don't want to just be about my business in the middle of September and then you drop something. So can you just drop the shit now? And I think Kendrick, after seeing the Lakers lose.
Yeah, they at the playoffs.
After seeing the Lakers lose yesterday, he decided at 8:24, the two numbers for Kobe, a.m., to drop.
Damn, that's early in the morning. Some people wouldn't even have to bet, depend on what time zone you was in. You wouldn't have any woke. Your day had started.
It is West Coast time, so it's 8:24, but 11:24 here.
Oh, it was West Coast time. Okay. Yeah,
but still. So he went ahead and dropped the track. And at the beginning, there's like this weird sound you can hear that's like, it's like reverse words.
Woo, shit, my man, serious.
You fart.
That is, if you play it backwards, everything they say about me is true. So I don't know if he's saying that about himself or if he's saying that about Drake. And it starts with like some Teddy Pendergrass beat.
Teddy, like, come talking, on through, Teddy.
He's talking all like soft and smooth and, you know, that light Kendrick voice that he does. Them superpowers getting neutralized. I can only watch in silence. That shit. And I'm not going to lie. That first, like, 30 seconds, I was like, oh, no, Kendrick. This is not what we wanted. This is not the Kendrick we wanted. We want violence. And I know what violent Kendrick sounds like. It sounds like, yak, yak, yak. You know, it sound, you know, it sound a little more intense than this. And no matter how good these bars are, if this is what makes the song. And at the time, I only heard had a YouTube of it, because all the homies sent me to YouTube at the same time, because they knew I love mess. And so I'm listening to it, and matter of fact, I'll play a little bit for y'all. I hope this don't get yanked off YouTube. But you can hear that beat. It's very...
Them superpowers getting neutralized. I can only watch in silence.
Like, it's not giving it's so what I wanted. Back. After all this time waiting, I said, oh, no, man, no. And so then I immediately, like, I went back to the YouTube app to look in the app and be like, how long is this shit? Because if it's, like, a minute long and this is what it is, he's going to get laughed out of fucking rap history. Like, it's going to be so many people like, that's all the fuck you had? Fuck that shit, you know? But then... After he finishes that upfront where he, you know, it's almost like a thesis statement, you know, and it says a lot of stuff about him. You know,
has won a Pulitzer.
I made a joke a long time ago about not even that long ago, maybe last year. I said people were arguing who's the best rapper turned actor. And I said, or actor, rapper turned actor. And I said, I don't know who's the best rapper turned actor, but the best actor turned rapper is definitely Drake, because he been acting like a nigga from America for 15 years and no one said shit. I wouldn't call myself a Drake like hater, because I'm willing to give him.
Oh, he got some bops.
Yeah, I'm willing to give him his credit where it's due. I think there's some people that have kind of like. Their thing is, like, I'm never going to give him his credit. And that's cool. That's cute.
Kiki,
it's
just, do you look? Yeah, that's my jam.
Yeah, it's just not my thing or whatever. I don't get into music in that type of way. I don't really get into anything in that type of way. But I think that is a thing I have always said about him. And it's so crazy. I was tweeting before all this even happened this year. I was like, it's wild that Drake has had such a long run at the top of hip hop, basically uncontested. Like there's other acts that are good and stuff, but no one really seems to mind that this dude from Canada, who was an actor, who sings, who what all the things, you know, about him, comes down here, kind of cloaks himself in, I'm not even gonna say blackness because I think that's a little unfair, but cloaks himself in like the hood, quote unquote, like hood authenticity, you know, Jay Prince and Cash Money and shit. And so it's like he's cloaked himself with those people around him who we do respect in a way that means you can't question him. But is it any different than Iggy Azalea coming to America and cloaking herself in T.I. and then we go, I guess you can't say shit because eventually people won out and said, no, actually that person's kind of does some whack shit and it's kind of whack that y'all are importing this person as if they're, you know, have as if they're, you know, skipping the line almost, right? Anyway, I guess this year everybody said, fuck it. We can say it finally. I don't know.
You know what? You said 2024 is a year of grievances, and I think you are absolutely right. It started with Shannon Sharp and Cat Williams, and it's been rolling on for the rest of the year, apparently.
Yeah. Honestly, I was on a podcast years ago. I don't remember the episode, but it was a podcast called Where's My 40 Acres, hosted by some of our friends. And I remember one time they had me on there to review a Drake album. And I famously was like, "This, I don't like Drake. This is not good as an album. I don't like any of his albums straight up. Like, I always like some tracks off of it, but I don't like all that shit."
Yeah, and I like some of his mixtape stuff a lot better, like when he first came out versus his albums.
Yeah, whatever. Like, my point was just that, like, I'm not hating, but I don't think he's ever put out a complete album I fuck with, because it's always kind of like half bad singing, because he's not a great singer. He just sings.
Right.
And like,
that's
half
sing talky.
Yeah, and then, like, half rap. Like, it's half, and then there's a lot of kind of sullen, sad, like, you know, like, emo, depressing, like, I'm rich, but I'm sad type of songs. And it just wasn't my vibe. And when they had me on there to review it, I remember being like, why did y'all even have me on here? And it ended up being real funny because, you know, I just basically, they would try to give them credit for something, and I'd be like, nah, that shit is whack, and here's why. Oh, what about this song? Oh, this is why I thought that song. And so, like, kind of was funny. And then, like, I think a couple times they even had other reviews, and people always be like, oh, we got to have Rod back to review. And I'm like, I don't want to do it, because it just feels like I'm hating, and I don't want to come off like a hater.
Right.
But I'm probably never going to enjoy a whole Drake album. It's just... Cause, and it's because of the choices he's made. It's not like a, I'm waiting on him to make the album for me. I don't think he ever will. I don't necessarily think he should. He's selling and doing fine without my, you know, everything not for me.
Super serve your audience.
Yeah.
Right.
And he'll drop a back-to-back or something that I'll be like, yeah, that's what's up. You know what I mean? Like, and then he'll go back to singing, you know, it's cool. Anyway, point is, I've been on this train for a minute of like, shock that Drake came here and has been dominating American hip hop on foreign soil for 15 years, basically unchallenged. And I thought we all could see it, but just as long as hip hop was cool with it, Jay Prince and them covering them, everyone was collabing with him. He sells, so everyone does record with him. Everyone, you know,
the young people, the established artists, like everybody across the board, right?
A Drake collaboration is a number one hit for a lot of rappers, so including Kendrick, because they did that song, I think, Poetic Justice together. So he ain't immune to working, he's worked with them to get that's them sales before, too. But apparently, what I didn't know, I felt it, but I didn't know it was confirmed in this song. Kendrick has not liked this nigga the whole time. And because the kind of shit he was saying, it's some like...
Sound like, I did not like you, have not ever liked you. It was like, these are the reasons why.
He not even rapping about like who's the best at rap. It's just like, I personally as a human being find the way that you get down so fucking disgusting? And I have never thought that what you did was cool. I was actually perplexed at how many people thought what you did was cool. And so I just said, fuck it. I guess we just not calling this out. But finally, I said, fuck it. And now, turns out, I'm not alone. The culture don't fuck with you. But yeah, I'll try to point. It's 6 minutes long. And so let's go through the negatives of the song. You got your preamble that's like 30 seconds to a minute, and it's very laid back and not that much energy to it. And you almost could cut this part out of the song. It wouldn't hurt it. You know what I'm saying? There's some lines in it, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like Tommy Hilfiger stood out, but FUBU never had been your collection. You know, Tommy Hilfiger, if you old school, you know, the rumor was Tommy Hilfiger was racist. It's not true, mm-hmm. but that Tommy Hilfiger was racist and didn't want hip hop collecting his a part of his brand. And of course, FUBU is specifically for us, by us. So saying Drake's not one of us, whether you believe that's black or you believe that's American blacks, what hip hop, whatever you believe it is, because FUBU was a hip hop brand and shit, is very much in line with that whole like white boy shit that Rick Ross was saying. He says, fabricate stories on the family front because you heard Mr. Morale, a pathetic master manipulator. I can smell the tales on you now. So he basically say you're a liar. You know, like, you like, it's just, it's a lot of like, you're fake, and just a lot of big words to say you're fake. You know, and that you're very shallow. And I think on a subconscious level, if this is Drake's, if this is Drake acting out what he believes blackness in America and hip hop are, Kendrick's kind of disgusted because he's like, this surface level bullshit is not what makes people black. And you pretend thug, womanizer, All the most flashy negative things about black people is what you imitate. Now, that being said, I'm not going that far. I don't think Drake's not black, but I just think when you rapping in a battle, it's not about being right.
Right, when you rapping in a battle, everybody take their gloves off.
The line to me that stuck out was how I make music that electrify him, you make music that pacify him. I can double down on that line, but spare you this time. That's random acts of kindness. I think that might be a reference to people alleging that Drake deals with young girls or underage, quote unquote, women, which I don't, once again, I've never seen that proven, but it don't really matter
to a lot of people
because it's a beef. And I think that's one of those, like, I'm not bringing it up now, but if you keep talking shit, we'll start on that line too. So then they get into the song, and you know, it's a lot of like, I mean, this is where the energy picks up. Matter of fact, let me play a little bit of that part for you, because the energy picks up
and it's the beat flip. Yes, sir.
Yeah, like my brother was on Facebook saying that he wasn't really feeling the song because he thought the energy was missing. And I don't know. I just disagree, because I feel like once you get to this part, the energy in his voice and the beat all go
changes,
hard.
Changes, yes. Shoo! Shoo! Shoo!
Shoo! Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, I'm out the way, yeah, I'm low, okay. Yeah, the island right here is remote, okay. I ain't thinking about no reaper, nigga, I'm reaping what I sow, okay. Got a Benjamin and a Jackson all in my house, like I'm Joe, okay. Hellcat.
Man, yeah, to me, that's energy. I didn't feel like that's laid. Like, that first shit was laid back. But once he started getting into that part, he was talking shit. Let me just try to get to the major lines, because, like, some of these lines are, like, just, you know, I'm the man, or you not the man, or, you know, you nigga, you ain't, don't, you playing with the wrong one type of shit. One of the things, I hate when a rapper talk about guns, then somebody die, they turn into nuns, then hop online like pray for my city. He faking for likes and digital hugs. His daddy a killer, he wanna be Junior. They must have forgot that shit they done. And then dementia must run in his family, but let it get shaky. I'll park your son, like Parkinson's.
Oh no.
But I think that stuff is not about his real daddy. I think that's about, he just called Jay Prince his daddy, and Jay Prince is known to be like a gangster dude that's handles business if things need to get handled. And he's saying, look, Jay Prince is a killer, you not. You want to be like his image, but you not like that. And he must have forgot what it's really like to be a gangster if he letting you walk around like that. But I will park his son, basically. Like, I'll be the one that'll fucking put his son in his place if this shit keeps going. Then another one that stuck out was, he said, somebody told me that you got a ring. On God, I'm ready to double the wage. I would rather do that than let a Canadian nigga make Pac turn in his grave. That's about Drake spending $1 million to buy a ring that was like Tupac's ring. And then, of course, you know, Kendrick loves Tupac. Drake had the fake AI Tupac in his little return disc thing or whatever. But basically, that's Kendrick being like, I'll pay double what you bought for that ring just to keep it away from who I consider to be a bitch ass nigga, which is you. Cutthroat business, you got shit twisted. What is that? The braids? Because remember, I don't know if you're talking about Drake's braids when he tried to. He could be talking about his own braids, but he said, I hurt your feelings. You don't want to work with me no more. Okay. This the only line about J. Cole. There's three goats left. I see two of them kissing and hugging on stage. I love him to death, and in 8 bars, I'll explain that phrase. Cole got off light, and I feel like he did the right thing hopping out.
Oh yeah, he was smart.
Because that's the only thing he really had to say was, like, you and Cole, like, Cole, y'all supposed to be the greatest, and y'all sitting up here being friends and shit. So shout out to Cole. Prescient. He said, basically, don't call me on the cell phone trying to make peace. You know, I got language barriers, and there's no accent you can sell me. I think that goes back to what Megan Thee Stallion said when she was like, you know, fake ass accents, because, you know, Drake has done, like, I'm Jamaican now. I'm you know, I'm talking from the South now. He's like, yeah, save all that bullshit. he said, Cole and Aubrey know I'm a selfish nigga. The crown is heavy. I pray they real friends. If not, I'm YNW Melly. I don't know if you remember us covering YNW Melly on this show, but he's the guy who made the song Murder on My Mind.
Oh, no! Where not that dude!
He raps about killing two people that were, like, his best friends. He later was convicted of killing two people that was his best friends.
Yeah,
I think they may overturn that. Last I checked, they might overturn that. But the sentiment of if you're not my real friends, I'ma kill you. That means something. Mm. So, you know, I guess Drake, I guess, you know, that's him letting them know that. Anyway, so then he brought up that apparently Drake had went at Pharrell. I didn't even remember this. I don't even know when Drake shit on Pharrell, but I guess he did.
What Pharrell got to do with anything?
A song. Travis Scott's Meltdown. I don't even know the song. Man, fuck all that spinning the narrative shit. I melt down the chains that I bought from your boss. Give a fuck about all that heritage shit. Since V not around, the members done hung up the Louis. They not even wearing the shit. Don't come to your boy about repairing some shit. Don't come to your boy about sparing some shit. So I guess that's about Pharrell. Oh, because Pharrell was made the men's creative director for Louis Vuitton.
Yes.
Which replaced Virgil, and Drake made it seem like the company was whack because of that. Oh, okay. Huh. Man, that's such a Real Housewives ass thing to be mad about. But yeah, man.
But we beefing, so on the table.
That's not from the beef, is what I'm saying. Oh, that's like Pharrell, like being mad at Pharrell because of some fashion shit is hilarious.
All he's saying for Drake was,
yeah,
and
it's not even affecting Drake. He just mad. Like, did he want to be that or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened with that
Pharrell
shit.
Pharrell kind of straight for no reason.
Yeah, but I guess he's Kendrick said, because you said that shit about Pharrell, I decided to be mad at you. I'll take that on for Pharrell. He said, yeah, fuck all that pushing P. Let me see you push a T. Because he never responded back to Pusha T after Pusha T made the song.
No.
Yeah.
It was just part one. Part two never came out.
Story of Adidon never got a response. He said, you better off spinning on again on him. You think about pushing me. So he's like, you better off responding to Pusha T now than responding back to what the fuck I'm saying right now. which is hilarious. Yeah, it was kind of interesting because he talks. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll skip this next couple lines and I'll try to speed it up. I'm sorry, guys. It's just the song is Kendrick shit is more dense than most people's shit, so it's harder to just be like, oh yeah, he just said this and then he called you white boy. It's like no, he got all kinds of shit in here. But yeah, what's funny is that people that say he didn't come that personal and all this stuff. He says it in the song, like, I'm not even being personal yet, which.
How, later, Sway?
Right. Later on in the song, I'm like, that sound personal to me, but fuck it. If you say it's something worse to say out there, maybe Drake shouldn't say anything back, you know? But yeah, this ain't about critics, not about gimmicks, not about who the greatest. I always been love and hate. Now let me say, I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way you sneak this. If I catch a flight, it's going to be correct. We hate the bitches you fuck because they confuse themselves with real women. And notice I said we. It's not just me. I'm what the culture feeling. God damn.
And the way he said it, I thought he was going to say, I hate the back of, which we call it neck. I hate myself because I'm black. I was like, well, goddamn, nigga.
It was very like, I hate the way that you walk. It was like, damn,
it came out of nowhere, too. I was like, oh, we very angry. This is personal.
Yeah. It is. And then, of course, in all these diss songs, bitches have caught strays. Okay. I don't know why. But the bitches are not okay. They are not. They didn't do nothing. They were minding their business.
Just being bitches. And all of a sudden, they got mauled down.
Every single.
Because the dudes is out to fight. I got shot.
Every single diss song. Even the disses that are happening because of women that these niggas obviously care about. The songs are like, but bitches ain't shit. They don't mean nothing to me. I got all the bitches and you got none of the bitches. And if you like bitches and catch feelings over bitches, you a bitch, you bitch ass bitch. It's like, damn. Yes! The bitches were just drinking their water.
Minding their business.
They on IG with y'all in their comments and DMs. Y'all know that. Anyway. How many more black features till you finally feel that you're black enough? Jesus. That's this has to be hurting on some level, Drake's.
Oh, it was it was personal attack.
Getting his blackness question 15 years into his reign of hip hop. That it has to feel some way. There's no way this bothers him nothing, you know. And he didn't help things when he made the text message to his mom, and said Rick Ross was being racist. I don't know that there's a whiter way to view being joked about as a white boy by black people than saying they're being racist to you. I understand. It's just black people don't talk like that. That's all I'm saying. If you make a joke about your light-skinned friend and say they acting white or they being white, they not gonna say, why are you being racist to me? They might be like, stop disrespecting me or hey, chill out, but they're not gonna say, mom, they're being racist. That's anyway. I like Drake with melodies. I don't like with Drake when he act tough. I thought that was a fun line. he gonna make a nigga bring back Puff. Let me see if Chubbs really crashed something. Chubbs is Drake's bodyguard. Another bar that was so cool to me was all the puns about Drake getting the fake abs. Let your core audience stomach that, then tell them where you got your abs from. Is just that's just some good wordplay. I'll skip over some of the other wordplay. get to some. I'm sorry, I'm scrolling through to get to the lines that I felt like stuck out. Oh, then this is where I think it really took a turn when he went back to the how much he hates him and says, surprise, you wanted that feature request. You know that we got some shit to address. So this is him telling us Drake recently at some point asked for Kendrick to do a feature on his album or song.
Right, but then you turn around and you put some shit out talking about me.
Well, so what I would imagine, and we'll, you know, maybe they can elaborate, I imagine, because Drake's been putting out albums a lot lately, I imagine at some point in the last few years, he reached out to Kendrick, like, be on an album with me, be on a song with me. But Kendrick's whole thing is like, you've been sneak dissing me in your music for years at this point. And we don't really fuck with each other. We've been doing it back and forth to each other. The only difference is I just finally was the one who said, no, it's about you. I don't fuck with you. When he did like that, it was no way to take what Kendrick said and be like, well, that's not about J. Cole and Drake. So what it seems like, he's like, why are you asking me for features if you think I'm whack or you don't fuck with me or you've been talking shit about me? Just
right.
Leave me the fuck alone.
Just leave me alone.
And then he says, surprise, you wanted that feature request. You know we got some shit to address. I even hate the way you say the word nigga, but that's just me, I guess. Which is so good. It's honestly, it's such a good way to talk shit about him, because it's basically like, you don't come from this, you weren't grown into this, you don't even say nigga right. Now I don't know if that's real or not, but then he goes, but that's just me, I guess, which makes me feel like Kendrick has been saying behind the scenes to people for a minute, like, why do we even let him say nigga? And they've been like, Kendrick, chill out, man. It's not a big deal. He black. But he not from here. He from Canada. He be saying nigga like he from here. Kendrick, it's not about that, man. Man, he grew up as a fucking child actor on a goddamn TV show. He's not really us. And then he accepted the general consensus, which is, I guess I'm tripping. No one else seems to have an issue
right.
with this Canadian half black dude coming down here and saying nigga. So I guess I'm tripping. And I relate to this in such a hard way, because I remember as a kid listening to hip hop, and not to make this all about me, but I'm just sharing that I had a similar thought. I remember listening to hip hop, and like the first time I heard like Fat Joe
and Big Pun,
I remember being like, I'm tripping, or these niggas not black.
Am I tripping?
It's for us to say.
Right.
You can't reclaim it and allow other niggas to have it. It's just us. It's our thing. That in a small circle of us trusting each other, it means brother, family, whatever, the kinship with you is what it means. But once we let it get outside of that, it don't mean the same.
Mm-mm.
And people from New York and stuff is like, nah, it's cool. They say it up there, it's cool. And I know not everyone from New York feels that way. But my point
right.
being, I said, I it's just me, I guess.
Right, it's just me, because I wasn't raised like that. You say nigga, you don't know. Like it's one of them things where I'm like, uh-uh.
Yeah, I've had, like, I've literally had to fight people at the basketball court over that, you know, where it's like, you don't say that, you know?
Yeah.
But the point being, it reminded me of that sentiment when he's like, but that's just me, I guess, which also lets you know how much he must hate this man. Cause that's not even on the list of things I expected to come up in any of these beefs. Is
mm-mm.
Why did we let him say nigga? That was like an aside. Then he went back to rapping. He said some shit just cringeworthy. It ain't even got to be deep, I guess. like I just don't like this dude. But yeah, keep me dancing, wave my hand, and it won't be no threat. I love that line. Just like that goes back to, can you just do the singing stuff? Then he said, matter of fact, I ain't even bleed them yet. Can I bleed them? Bet. And I think this line stands out. When I see you stand by Sexy Red, I believe you see two bad bitches. I believe you don't like women. That's real competition. You might pop ass with them.
Oh, why? And I was like, oh, no. I was not ready. I was like, what is happening right now? And that's why he goes so hard at the women. He go hard at women.
He said Drake sent a cease and desist on the Like That record.
Which, I believe he did.
Which is crazy. Like, he tried to strike that record down. For on what grounds?
On what grounds?
Other than just, can we keep this from coming out? Because I know it's going to be bad for me. Because
mm-hmm.
there's no, like, they don't sample anything. He doesn't, I don't even know if he says Drake's name on that record.
No, because the beat is like a original beat, right? Yeah.
Because
the dude that make it, he makes beats. So, right. Yes.
And then, of course, you know, Rick Ross had brought up that Drake had sent a cease and desist to French Montana. Else. So I guess this is like one of his ways of, I don't know what, if it's true, I guess it's one of his ways of maybe like trying to stop the controller's image, you know?
And babe, you can't do that.
But I like the way he phrased it, said, try cease and desist on that Like That record. Oh, what? You ain't like that record? Back to back, I like that record. I'm going to get back for the record.
I like Back to Back too, Kendrick.
He said, why would I call around trying to get dirt on niggas? Because that's the thing in rap now too, is they try to get, like, and this is one of the reasons I think some of the people's, like, disenchantment with these diss songs I can't really relate to is because in their mind, it's not a diss song unless you, like, spill some tea, quote unquote. You find something out about a person that no one else knows. And to me, that I think that might be an underground rap battle hip hop thing that some people do, where they come back and they have a whole story and they like, I heard your daddy had a deep dark secret. I've never really been into that. I'm not dissing the underground rap battle shit. That's cool for them. I get the point, but it's just, that's never been a thing that took a diss to the next level for me to be like, no. Oh, he found out that his daddy was a draft dodger. Like, who? What? Let's talk about right now.
Right.
You know, and so apparently this is alleging, and probably it's not that big of a leap, that Drake and OVO people have been calling around trying to find dirt on Kendrick. Like that's what they're like, oh, I got to unveil something that no one knows about the person. And he's like, and so Kendrick's putting in his voice and saying, why would I call around trying to get dirt on niggas? Y'all think all of my life is rap? That's whole shit. I got a son to raise, but I can see you don't know nothing about that.
Told you that we went back to Pusha T.
Yeah, I mean, Push, it's kind of funny because, like, I'd say Pusha T and Megan laid the groundwork that a lot of people are just piling on, but that's how you know what they said was some real shit, you know? And then, of course, got to give Ross credit, too, for the white boy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it really, like, it's starting now that every next diss in this thing is just people pulling up some of the old shit and rephrasing it, but that's what makes it good. That's what's gonna make it stick, is that it's been said 3, 4, 5 times by 3, 4, 5 different people. It's gonna be hard for Drake reputationally, not monetarily, not it's to just kind of like,
oh yeah, he's
come back like this didn't happen,
right? He'll be just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, then he talks about raising your kid and all this shit in detail. Then he goes to in Drake's song, he said, what's this, a 20v1, meaning 20 people versus me?
Okay.
Because he was like, Rick Ross dissing me, and Future and Metro dissing me, and Kendrick dissing me. And so, of course, Kendrick addresses that. Ain't 20v1, it's 1v20 if I gotta smack niggas that write with you.
Oh, no!
Because he got Ghost Riders. He said, bring them out, too. I clean them out, too. Tell Beam that he better stay right with you. Beam is one of the Ghost Riders. Am I battling Ghost or AI? Nigga feel like Joel Hill Osteen. Now, this is so funny to me, and I hope he doesn't go back and fix this, but it's Joel Hill Osteen is, that's not a person. That's not a person.
It's Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen is a pastor.
Yes.
But that's not who he's talking about. Because he goes on to say, funny he was in a film called AI and my sixth sense telling me to off him. He's talking about Haley Joel Osment, the child actor.
Oh.
So he,
that's hilarious.
He tanked the name.
It don't even matter.
But we all know.
I was like, what your pastor got to do with this? I don't even care.
One demerit for taking the name. But yeah, we all know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I hope he don't fix it.
No,
I really
don't fix
do.
It.
But yeah, he went on to say, I love this line too. He said, yeah, OVO niggas is dick riders. Tell them run to America to imitate heritage. They can't imitate this violence. And once again, I said, if there's any knock on this, to me, it's not about energy. It's that it's dense. And so,
yeah, it's really dense.
Something that someone else would have said a lot simpler, Kendrick will never take that way out. He's going to always say,
you're going to always get the dictionary, dog.
Right. But I love that line of like, you can run to America to imitate our heritage, but you can't imitate the violence that made Black Americans the Black that we are. So all this cosplay is bullshit. It's another way of what Megan said in a much simpler way, which is cosplay gangsters, fake ass accent, posted in another nigga's hood like a bad bitch. She said it immaculately, perfectly, zipped them right on. And this is Kendrick's way of saying that too. So then he said, don't speak on the family, Crody. It could get deep in the family, Crody. Talk about me and my family, Crody. Someone gonna bleed in your family, Crody. Apparently, Crody is one, the Crip version of saying Brody, but two, that's the name of Drake's cat.
Oh no,
right?
I didn't even know he had a cat. Goddamn,
what the fuck.
And the cat looking like, now why am I in it? Meow.
Meow. Now meow, am I in it?
Yes, meow, I in it. Meow.
This is so funny. The next line is a Canadian Chinese food place in Toronto, right? But Kendrick says this shit in the Canadian accent. You see, because it's basically saying, like, I can come to your hood and post up and you ain't going to do shit. That's what he's saying. He said, I be at New Ho King eating fried rice with a dip sauce and a blammy, Crody. Tell me you cheesing, fam. We could do this right now on the camera, Crody. And he said it in the Canadian accent, which is so fucking petty and funny and stupid, man. Oh, I love beef. How do y'all not love beef? How is anyone not laughing and smiling every entry into this? And you can't even say I'm playing favorites, because honestly, when Drake put out that motherfucking push-ups, I was smiling the same way. Like, it ain't about friends. It's just like, oh, two of the best people is fighting.
Yes, give us your best lines.
Who don't want to, y'all don't want to see this?
Yeah, I think a lot of people strip the fun and enjoyment out of it.
Because they playing favorites, or right. Like, they want us, but I'm too, I would never be moved by any of these Negro antics. I'm like, no, every round, it's funny. The white boy shit was funny.
It was hilarious.
It's all funny to me, man. I'm not delving into the, like, cerebral subconscious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not fun.
No, that's...
It's not fun.
At
Leave that shit at the door when you come in. No, I don't think the one drop rule applies. Or what? I don't think it's the reverse one drop rule where you white if you half Black. I don't believe in any of that. But for the purposes of talking shit about somebody, it is what it is.
Yeah, all the isms and sisms, all that stuff comes into play. Yeah.
I don't like the misogyny and shit, but if it's a rap beef, I understand that's what's coming. It's gonna happen fast.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, and also the bitches take strays.
Yeah, a lot of strays apparently. It's a lot of.
Did you tell the folks that, you bitch?
A lot of that. And then he ends it with what was it? It was that's not the part out. Oh yeah, just wave one finger and thump y'all niggas like field goal punch y'all niggas, stay punk y'all niggas, nobody never took my food. That's just funny because that's clearly about the football game that we used to play with the folded pieces of paper. Y'all remember that? You used to kick the field goal through it? And whoever that's fucking with him, fuck you niggas and fuck the industry too. If you take it there, I'm gonna take it further. Psst, that's something you don't want to do. And then he makes this sound at the end of the song that It sounds like when Scotty wanted to shoot Nino Brown so bad his dick was hard and he didn't do it. And he's just like, ooh.
Go punk y'all niggas, they punk y'all niggas. Nobody never took my food. Whoever that's fucking with them, fuck you niggas and fuck the industry too. If you take it there, I'm taking it further. Psst, that's something you don't want to do. Ooh.
That, ooh. Why is that so good? It's like my man Clarence Williams III in motherfucking Tales from the Hood. When he said, ooh, the shit.
Yes!
You take it there, I'm taking it further. Psst, that's something you don't want to do. Ooh.
That shit is so good.
I'm here for the fun.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I that's a drop I should have had a long time ago is that, oh, you want the the shit.
Yes, I love that actor.
Ooh. God, he was one of my favorite actors of all time. But yeah, it's just a mess. And I know people came here to hear about a recap when something, because, you know, we've been on this every time something new is dropped. So we had to give you the recap. Once again, don't write in if you just want to be like, but Drake the Greatest and his sales,
don't write in if you got problems with the isms and the scissors and the bitches catching the strays or the random ass cat. We don't care.
Every time
like
one of these drops, if you come to the chat before the show starts, I go back through the whole order that's available because, you know, niggas is taking their songs off off of streaming services, so I can't even get them all no more. But I go through the whole thing because I'm just loving that the niggas are rapping again, and that's it to
ain't
me.
They rapping again? Make God America rap
damn
again.
Thanks, Noob Noob.
All right, let's get into the show. Do you have any banter stuff or no?
Mm-mm.
All right, cool. I'm trying to think. Do I have any? Oh, you know what? Yeah, I do. Hold on, guys. I got some banner for everybody. Just give me a second and get some banner music. All right. Quick banter. First thing, I want to shout out a couple podcasts that we've been guest on and all this stuff. The first one is 4 All Nerds. Karen and I were guest on the 4 All Nerds podcast talking about the X-Men episode, not from the last week, but the week before.
Yes, we had a ball. We always love kicking it with them.
Yeah, Tati and Ben Amin, such fun people. Mm-hmm. And go check it out if you haven't. If you're into our nerd stuff, I think you'll really enjoy it. And it's a fun conversation that you're not going to find anyone else talking about.
Or anywhere else.
Talking about it like that. And we love doing our thing over there.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is I was on What You've Been Watching, which is WATCHU, What You've Been Watching, with my man Ba from the Firestarter podcast. Mm-hmm. We talked about TV and stuff. He talks about, you know, basically like what we've been watching, but also what we grew up watching and all this stuff. And
that was a fun listen.
Thank you. And it was a long conversation that we had late at night on a Sunday night. But honestly, it flowed and it was fun. And I enjoyed talking with him. And I hope that y'all check that out as well if you like that. And then next week, Karen's going to be the guest. So it'll be back to back the Blackout Tips on what you've been watching. So check that out. And then we hosted the Karen Hunter show last Friday for Foolishness Friday.
Yes.
You can check out the replay on the SiriusXM app. It was 3 hours. We had JL Covan. We had Trey Crowder, who's the liberal redneck, fun dude. Mm-hmm. We had Shalewa Sharp. We had Randolph Terrence. And we talked about a wide range of topics and stuff. It's different than our podcast. And it's hard, and we had lots of callers and stuff, and it's a little bit harder for me to do because I've never helmed a radio show before. So the differences are, and Karen Hunter hit me up after with like some tips and pointers that obviously if I had to do it again would take into account. But it was like on a podcast, we go from segment to segment, topic to topic. We talk it out till we're all talked out and then we move on, right? On a radio show, you almost want to start off the show introducing as many topics as possible, and then you feel calls and opinions.
Yeah, and the callers will take you back to the topic.
Yeah, but also, like, the callers aren't really that important, so, like, it's okay if you don't get to the callers. Some people hold on forever. Some people, you know, anxiety and nervousness was like, I need to hurry up and get to the callers. You know, if someone called in, I don't want to have them hanging on forever or hang up or something. You know, it was that. There's also, like, I'm watching and doing so many things at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now, it's crazy that she does this every show, but it's like, and I'm sure you get used to it if you do it.
She's been doing radio long for a enough, long time.
But she's like, there's a caller list with descriptions of the callers. There's the Zoom, there's a chat, there's guests, she's got to do ad reads. Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say?
There's an itinerary that you get.
Yeah, there's a bunch of articles that are kind of been bullet pointed for you, but you kind of go in and out to like figure out the things. The sound effects are controlled by somebody else, so that's cool that you don't have to worry about it.
Shout out to
but you don't know when they're coming in.
Yeah, Smiz is great. And what's hilarious is that Smiz is listening live, too. So when it come, it kind of catch you off guard. It's almost like you want to bust out laughing when he does it.
Yeah, I definitely do. But, you know, and I was not, I wouldn't say I was nervous about it, because I wasn't nervous. But I was definitely like, man, I hope I don't mess this up too bad, because I still look at it as you're a guest in somebody else's house.
Right.
And regardless of how much faith and belief they have in you, you know, I'm operating like this is not my space necessarily. So I'm still going by what I deem to be like the Karen Hunter vibe and rules.
Right.
Trying to keep it that way, you know, and not just turn it into like some free for all or just be up there saying stuff, you know, that they wouldn't want you to say or whatever. So I still try to do that. It was fun. And you know, she enjoyed what we did, even with those pointers.
I'm glad
I appreciate
she did.
That. You know, it's
yes.
And I appreciate the pointers because, you know, don't forget she's also a professor.
Yeah.
So she's teaching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, she probably always in teaching mode. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to learn. I was like, okay, well, let me ask you about this. What about the callers? How long is too long for them to hold on, or should I not even worry about them? And some stuff you can only learn by doing it. And I think hosting it, you can only learn by doing it. Mm-hmm. I could watch her host a million times and it's not the same as having to do it yourself.
Right.
The other thing she said that in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I see why. She's like, we probably should have started off with me and you talking for like 15 minutes and then bring in a guest.
Yeah.
Whereas we just started with the guest because I was like, rip the Band-Aid off. Let's just start. And you know.
Yeah, I remember, I think Smith or somebody suggested that. And you was like, no, we were good.
Yeah, well, he just asked.
Right.
I didn't see it as a suggestion. I saw it as like, what do you think would you rather this or that? And I went, I mean, we might as well just start with everybody there. He's only going to be there for an hour. Let's give him his full hour so that he can like do his thing, you know. You know, when Karen has me on, if there's like a preamble or something she needs to do at the beginning, I don't say anything until she introduces me. So I just figure most people that are guests know that you just don't say shit until they introduce you.
Right.
But with us, we were already talking backstage. The show started and then boom, we was talking with Trey, you know,
like
it was like nothing ever, you know. So in hindsight, yeah, I would do an introduction next time. You know?
Yeah, because it's more of giving the audience a vibe of us, just me.
Yeah,
and me.
Yeah. But, you know, because I mean, I'm confident we could have done the whole show, but just us.
Agreed.
We didn't really have to have a guest, but it was like, once we had a guest, it was like, let me be, you know, as giving to the guest as possible, but mm-hmm. That's just a learning lesson. And trying to think, you know, when you're hosting and you got the Zoom chat or whatever, and the producer's like, all right, you got a minute to wrap this up. Okay, you got 2 minutes.
Commercial,
you know,
break, coming back.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So those kind of things I had to like kind of figure out on the fly, like, how to wrap it up. But I honestly, that was the thing I concentrated on the most, was getting to breaks on time.
Right.
That's one, that's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's the hardest part because people start talking, you have a guest, they keep going, and it's like, no, wrap this shit up. We got to pay some bills.
Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes you have to be rude and be like, you know what, hold on to that thought, we'll be back after this.
Yeah, and so we never had that moment because, mm-hmm. you know, I did a good enough job navigating that we never had a fucked up break. Like, all of them were on time, almost like perfectly on time. And that was, you know, because I said, let me just concentrate on the shit I can control and not,
right.
you know, I can't control if we get nervous or calls in or get whatever. So yeah, it was fun, man. And we had some good callers that called in. It's another thing that's hard, coming up with the questions on the fly for the callers. So, like, as you're talking, you're like, oh, here's this article, and hey, if you've ever had this happen, call in. Or you got a story about dealing with Color Guard, call in. You know, I didn't know JL was going to want to talk about that when he popped on, but it's like,
yeah, you
I kept trying to come up with stuff, and it's, you know, some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of the stuff I could have introduced earlier, and I think we would have got more calls. Like, mm-hmm. it was really funny, that story about the threesome that we ended with. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like a podcaster, I'm like, this story is going to be funny. It's going to hit. I'll introduce that near the end, and we'll have fun in the last 15, 30 minutes just making jokes about the threesome. But obviously, looking back, should do that one closer to somewhere in the first hour.
Mm-hmm. And then we could have joked about the whole show.
That's that too, but more importantly, callers and people, like, there's contributions people could have made.
Yes.
Earlier, yeah. You know.
Right.
We could have asked our guest about it, you know.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I really have to learn to, you know, or things that I learned from that experience.
Yeah, and also it's one of those things because, like I said, it's different. You don't have to flesh the thing all the way out. So it's like, hey, you hit it. You hit a few topics. You can literally just talk about topics. You can go back to topics at any time. You're not restricted, you know, type of thing. Because even listening to Karen, she covers a lot of topics in a very short period of time sometimes. And so listen to her. And also, you did a great job with the ending, how she goes through, and she be like, she goes through like the names at the end.
Well, that's Miz putting it in the chat for me.
Ah,
yeah. That was Smith putting it in the chat for me. And if he had done it at the beginning, I would have done it, because I obviously don't know everyone's name and I haven't memorized all the introductions. And I also didn't want to try to be I'm being Karen, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wanted to be like, hey, it's us. It's a little bit different than what y'all used to, but we still gonna have a good time. It was just more like, I learned a lot, but don't be fooled. If you listen to the episode, it was fun. Like, it was,
we had a really
good time. The audience had a good time. I couldn't even check social media because it's so much happening
on, right?
For mm-hmm. me on the screen. So much was happening live
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't even really like, I forgot to go to social media. But when we got off the air and I looked at the social media, and so many people were just loving it and enjoying it, I was like, okay, we did a good job. Yeah. We did a thing.
I'm glad they did. And for those of you get like, I want to hear it, you can get you can sign up for free SiriusXM for 3 months. So for those of you to go, I don't have it, or I still want to listen to it, you still have a chance to listen.
Yeah, and I'm on the Karen Hunter show a lot, you know. They'll hit me up throughout the week and be like, you want to hop on Friday? And if I got availability, I always hop on because it's a fun environment. And I enjoy kicking it. And they have a really great audience.
They do.
Karen's a really gracious and funny host. It's been nothing but positive for us with that. So, just check us out if you got a chance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's everything for my... Oh, the last thing for my banter. So we went to Chipotle last night because I had to go. Anyway, we went to Chipotle last night. Mm-hmm. And we were on the way back home, and I was like, oh, just stop in and grab Chipotle. I don't know what's going on with Chipotle. Last couple times I've been to Chipotle, they've been running out of stuff.
Ain't they, though? It's been bad.
I don't know if it's a national shortage or a Chipotle shortage.
Yeah, I don't know, because like one of them went through two or three times. I mean, y'all, and it's one of those things where I understand people run out of shit, but it's the shit where you go, oh, no, I worked with enough restaurants. I go, either it's a shortage or your manager's fucking up. You run out of basic shit that goes with just like cheese, sour cream, lettuce, certain types of meat. It's like, no, either it's a major shortage or somebody is not ordering correctly.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I know they've extended their hours. I know it's the pandemic. Maybe people are ordering more out, and I don't, it didn't always used to be this way, but it's this way at least around this area for the last like few weeks. If matter of fact, I remember one time I placed an order online for Chipotle to be like, okay, just I'll get DoorDash or something through Chipotle, whatever. And they canceled the order because they just didn't have anything.
Right.
So I don't know what's happening with Chipotle, but we go in there and I expect, I gave Karen a choice of like this place or this place. She chose Chipotle. And we get in.
We went to a different location. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Whatever happened. Like, it's not your fault or nothing. It's just, we go in there and it's like, I immediately go, oh, that's right. They didn't have shit last time. And I guess it's not just that location that we went to, is all of them, because this one was like, they didn't even have a sign up, but as soon as people start ordering, they're like, all right, before you start ordering, just gonna let you know, we ain't got no vegetables, yeah, we ain't got no
sour cream,
blah blah blah. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh, and it gets progressively worse as the day goes on. So if you come in here at 9 or 10 or 11, they gonna have even less shit, right? So what I thought was cool, though, is, and they're overworked. It's not a great job.
Yeah, you could tell they was tired, yes.
You know, everyone's getting by on the minimum amount of cordialness.
That's required,
There's no Chick-fil-A greeters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not a pleasure to serve you situation.
I wouldn't be mad at them.
But this one brother that was in front of us in line, the guy, he was ordering his food, and I could tell from his order, he was trying to order like a kind of a, it was, I don't want to say healthy, but just kind of like a, it felt like what they tell me to eat for like protein for weightlifting and shit.
Okay.
Like I could just see from his order. And he's like, yeah, can I get brown rice? And then he's like, actually, I need to get some lettuce too. And then the guy's like, oh, like behind the counter, like, oh my god, he's like, yeah, I'm sorry I messed
he
up.
He was really
can
nice.
I have some lettuce and then put a little brown rice on top of the lettuce? And the guy's like, okay, no problem. And then the next guy down the line starts putting the other toppings on, and he's like, can I get some more chicken? He's like, well, you know it's gonna be extra. He's like, that's fine, I'll pay the extra,
right?
And he puts the extra chicken on, and then the guy did not close the lid. I don't know. You know how they have it where you put the lid on top of Chipotle?
I wonder if it was too thick.
The lid is like foil. You put it on top of the lid, and then you just kind of fold it around. I don't know what. I don't know. Anyway, the dude just would not close it. And so the guy ahead of us in line, the customer, he's like, hey, you having problems closing the lid? And the guy's like, huh, or whatever. He's like yeah, it's not closed. And the dude behind the counter was like, just kind of blank stared at the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy in line goes, and I thought this was, I don't even know, it's such a weird thing to say, but I thought this is so beautiful what he did. He said, are you okay?
Because he looked out of it. Yeah,
it wasn't in the like the way that means, because I'm going to jump over this counter and beat your ass. Mm-mm. For fucking up my food.
It was concerned.
It sounded genuine. Now, look, yes, it could all be fake. Maybe he's like me. He knows minimum rage is real. He knows that people get shot every day in these fast food restaurants. And maybe he was pretending to be empathetic. But really what he was saying was, hey, motherfucker, can you put the lid on my shit? Goddamn.
Yeah.
But he didn't say it that way. He said, are you okay? And then the kid behind the counter just looked at him. And he said, and he like took a beat, and he just goes, it's just, I'm really tired, and I'm just ready to go home. And then the guy said, it's okay if you can't close the lid, I'll close it.
Mm-hmm, he did. He took it, and he tightened it up.
And I don't know why, but that shit hit me. Mm-hmm.
I was and it was so sincere. Like, it wasn't no malice behind it or anything, because he looked at him like, you look like you're having a hard time. It's okay. You know, it's not even your fault, you know, because at any period of time, you know, he could have wrapped it up in aluminum foil or anything like that. And he closed it. I was like, oh.
Yeah, all I know is just, like, I don't know why it just hit. I was like, damn, that was really nice and empathetic and human. And I don't know if it got the dude back on track, because when he did our food, he got the lids on easily. Everything was fine.
He was just zoned out. And when you walked in there, you could tell that, y'all probably been tired of people fussing at y'all because y'all out of shit.
I just assume that's everybody working in any customer facing job since the pandemic, period. Like, I don't even feel like it was unique that night or to Chipotle or to running out of food. Everybody seems to be like, they all feel like they've been getting cussed out.
Yeah.
Like, restaurants where we're just like, you forgot the straws. Can we just get some straws? They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't. And I've heard anecdotally from people that work in the restaurant industry, they say people are meaner now. They tip less. They're more entitled. People are going out and acting up ever since the pandemic. So I do think generally, people are less kind.
It's the after effect, yeah.
And it's like when you talk to somebody that, and it's not to make light of it, but if you've ever talked to someone or been friends with somebody that's been like physically abused in some type of way, there's like things that they do, their eyes flicker, they flinch at certain shit that you're not intending to threaten them. They've got almost like a PTSD at this point of like, don't hit me. And I think with these employees, when I go places and I don't get angry, I don't raise my voice, I'm not a yeller. If anything, I'm the motherfucker that does hit the auto tip button when I shouldn't. You know, I'm that guy.
Me too.
I err on the side of niceness way too often, whether it's self-protection, just the way I get down in the earth, whatever. Point being, I've even had people where I just express like, there's no lids for the cups. And it's just like, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, whoa, it's not a I'm so sorry
almost
situation.
Like an overreaction,
I'm not doing this to make you like capitulate to me. I'm just doing it because I need a lid for my cup. If I could not do this, I would. If I could go in the back, grab my own lid and leave,
I would, and not even bother you, right?
Because it's just not
it's
about
not that,
that
important.
For me. So yeah, man, that was like a really cool moment. So shout out to that dude. All right, we've been talking for a long time. We're just gonna jump into some other stuff, but I gotta play some music first so we can get paid. Talk about other things, guys. All right. In Trump news, a judge holds Trump in contempt, fines him $9,000 for threat of and raises threat of jail and hush money trial. Feels like it's part of the cycle. A judge tells him, hey, I'm gonna hold you in contempt. He keeps pushing, he pushes it further than that. This might be the first time I've really seen them like truly seem like they might be willing to jail him. Of course, he will turn this into some sort of advantage or proof of unfairness. But you can't operate on. But he's gonna lie. Liars lie, everybody.
Right, that's what they do.
So put him in jail if he continues to do the shit. I just don't.
Right, you're being disruptive. Like, we're trying to get shit done here. Stop with the bullshit.
I've just never understood handing him or any liar the floor like this and letting them define the rules of the game of like, but if we do this, he gonna say he the victim.
Don't care.
Then he'll just be still lying the way he lied about losing the election. Like, he's a liar. He lies about the judgments. He lies about the court proceeding. He lies about the evidence. He lied. Like, he's going to lie. We can't keep letting him lie unchecked. So hopefully this, because he doesn't seem like the type that can stop himself. So I actually hope that, you know, this leads to him paying some sort of penalty that's not just $9,000 if he continues it. If he stops, fuck it. Then we just go on with the court proceeding.
Right.
But, yeah.
He can't help himself. There's something with inside of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this shit is getting out of control, and somebody needs to do something. So that was one thing. Miami Grand Prix sent a cease and desist letter to prevent Donald Trump from having a fundraiser during the race. Good. Yeah. They said, it's come to our attention you may be using your Paddock Club rooftop suite for a political purpose, namely raising money for a federal election at $250,000 a ticket.
And people will pay.
Which clearly violates the Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix suite license agreement. If this is true, we regret to inform you your suite license will be revoked. You will not be allowed to attend the race at any time, and we will refund you in full. At this point, he might need it for just the refund money.
He might have broken on purpose.
He's like, can I get my money back, though, so mm-hmm. I can get the suite money back? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, more Trump.
That was like,
nonsense.
You can't do this, sir.
Of course. And, of course, he would try. Also, Arizona grand jury indicted Meadows, Giuliani, and other Trump allies for the 2020 election interference. I don't even know what to say at this point, because Arizona obviously late passed. It's 4 years after, and y'all just now getting to it. This is another reason I'm not joining in on the Merrick Garland moves too slow. I don't know the machinations of how it's supposed to work. I just know that everybody else got to the race either at the same time as Merrick or later than Merrick. The motherfuckers were not able to get their trials out and done before Merrick and the special prosecutor have been able to do it. So I'm not a lawyer. I'm a layman. I don't know how fast the wheels of justice are supposed to turn when someone tries to overthrow the country or whatever. But I just know that they're not alone, and other people are bringing cases.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Arizona, it's kind of like the Georgia case, by the way, because they're indicting his allies, 18 of them, for subverting the 2020 election or efforts to subvert it, including Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani and Boris Epstein.
Yeah, y'all not Trump, so they, you know, they're gonna go after you with everything.
And they also described him as an unindicted co-conspirator, meaning Trump is one of the people they're after, too. They just haven't indicted him yet. It's coming together. I'm glad people are still trying to pursue justice, even if it's not at a pace that people would like to see. And I think it's becoming obvious that if we want to see him held accountable, it's in the hands of the American people who are voters.
Yes, sir. Because if he wins, nothing matters after that.
Yeah, I think if you are looking at this election as any type of failure on anyone's part, other than the people who choose to either not vote or choose to vote for Trump or choose to vote for like some party they know won't win.
All right.
I feel like you missing everything, because
mm-hmm.
like that might be what it comes down to. And if that's what it comes down to, we as a country need to stand the fuck up. I don't. There's no excuse to me.
Mm-mm.
Like, there's nothing that people who are refusing to vote for to vote against Trump or vote for Biden, there's nothing they've said that made me think, well, thank God, because if Biden's not in office, you will have solved that problem with Trump.
Nope.
Just pragmatically, that's the facts. And you're never going to be able to trick me or mentally do gymnastics in a way that make me go, oh, I see what you mean. Now, no, there's zero things that you claim to be for. And these motherfuckers always claim to be for a lot of shit, not just one thing.
Right.
But there's even the one thing won't be better with Trump. So, right. You know, that's what this is really a referendum on.
Yes, yeah, referendum on the American people, and it's also, you know, one of those things where if you're not in reality we're not having a conversation. Like, the reality, you're saying things that aren't based in anyone's reality, because it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what you say, what is the reality of the situation that you in, and you don't want to face it. That's not my problem, but you don't want to face it and accept it for what it is.
Women are now being advised to start breast cancer screenings at 40 and get them at least once every other year until age 74, according to new recommendations from the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force.
What's in between that and a mammogram? It's the same thing.
Yeah, mammogram.
Okay.
It's the same thing. Breast cancer screening, mammogram. So now, I guess it was, it didn't used to be 40s. It used to be like 50, but... I don't know how long it's been 50. I guess in 2016
it recently dropped, because I've been doing mine since 40.
Yeah, like the American Cancer Society had already recommended it. So maybe that's what your doctor was going by.
Yeah, they were like, she was like, you're 40, so go ahead and schedule that test. I was like, yeah. Okay.
And I whatever they say, I do.
Insane.
I just don't see the point in arguing with a doctor.
I ain't no reason to
argue. They never steer me wrong yet, so I'm rolling with them. Let's see what else we got. We've been going a while. Let me move into another topic so we can get to make sure we get some more segments. We'll be back, obviously, tomorrow. To do even more.
Okay.
Let's see. Maybe we'll do some.
There's something else we're going to talk about?
Well, it's just different articles and stuff. I just was going to hop it to a different segment. The other articles can wait till tomorrow. There's nothing pressing. So maybe we'll do some fucking with black people real quick. I know we love that. We love to see that. Fucking with half Drake people. What?
Oh, no.
All right. Kanye West's former security guard sues him for discrimination against black employees and wrongful termination. I'm a little surprised. Mostly not that I'm not surprised that, you know, there's allegations that Kanye might be racist to black people. I think we already kind of had, he's on record.
I already kind of thought that.
He has a pretty extensive I don't fuck with black people record. So that's not the part that I'm surprised by. I'm surprised, you know, that folks are still like going to work for him and then being like, what? In a new lawsuit filed by Benjamin Deshaun Provo, who worked security for West 46 at both his private school, Donda Academy, and at a warehouse where the creator stored his Yeezy brand clothing, the security guard accuses West of having frequently screamed at and berated black employees and firing him for refusing to cut his dreadlocks. It marks the most recent complaint against West, who, as of earlier this month, has already faced a complaint from another employee who claimed he suffered severe discrimination and harassment while working for him at the Donda Academy. It says Provo began working for the rapper around August 2021. So this was prime. You already knew what you were getting into time. He spent 6 months at the Donda Academy. The school then moved to a new location where he was then assigned additional job duties as a result of lack of staffing. He also performed security services for Sunday service events at Yeezy's and at Yeezy's warehouse. He was asked to place himself and paparazzi in harm's way by snatching cameras, and that separately, West required that anyone associated with Donda dispose of books related to Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and other prominent figures in the black community. I mean, you ain't quit that day. You was like, I guess this is
like
fine.
You said, people that get rid of books are normally not on the right side of history.
This is one of those, right? And also, this is one of those weird things too, because like,
Are you telling us this in the Fallon so that we'll all be mortified, or just we'll be like, yeah, that's what I would assume Kanye would say? Was it around the same time he said slavery was a choice, or after? Like, when was this part? You know, was it the Nazi anti-Jew part, or is it no? Okay. They also said, and Karen, I hope you're sitting down, there was a stark difference in the way Kanye treated the plaintiff and other black employees compared to the non-black counterparts.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know you can't believe it, Karen.
Mm-hmm. He got paid. Like, I'm surprised the lawsuit was. I didn't get.
I am shocked.
Paycheck.
Shocked. Well, not that shocked.
We'll complain about the pay disparity.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say pay had to come in there somewhere.
To direct manager John Hicks, Provo allegedly received the response, "Don't bring up money to Ye. He doesn't like to talk about money." Well, niggas that owe you money normally don't. Security guards also saw a decrease in his paycheck at one point shortly after raising complaints, something he claims his non-black colleagues did not experience, as he was told by Hicks that West can't afford security right now. He said West unjustifiably, unreasonably began demanding that plaintiff and others shave their heads, despite Provo wearing his hair in dreadlocks as an exercise of his Muslim faith. As a result of, was he like, well, we both hate Jews, so I mean, he should be cool.
Oh no, I hope not.
As a result of that's a joke, everybody. Calm down. As a result of the plaintiff's non-compliance with Kanye's demands that he his head be shaved, Hicks and Kanye began to exert pressure on the plaintiff to do the same. Kanye began to become increasingly more aggressive and demanding, announcing, "It's time to shave your heads. I'm not messing around." However, the plaintiff refused. Thereafter, Hicks approached the plaintiff and stated, Kanye said, "Tell the one with the dreads to shave his head or he's fired." Plaintiff refused to shave his head. As a result, his employment was terminated. So, he also alleges hostile work environment, labor code violations, wants his attorney fees paid.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Do you have an HR department?
No. I mean, this is one of those things too, where, you know, much like the Lizzo and Megan Thee Stallion thing, these motherfuckers work in one of these non-traditional atmospheres,
right?
Which can be prone and rife with abuse, and
sir,
the kind of thing where it's rock star shit until it's not. That being said, I don't think what Kanye is doing is even the same as what Lizzo and Meg were accused of doing.
No.
This don't feel like rock star shit. It would be an abusive environment even if it was not rock star shit.
Agreed.
Even other, like, musicians and shit don't necessarily do this shit. It's this is just more of like a, well, didn't, like, I'm more like, you ain't know, like, Kanye would do that to you? Why? There's nothing about this, like going to work for Antonio Brown. There's nothing about this guy you can tell me where I would be like, well, damn, I feel bad for you, bruh.
Right.
Like, I'm like, yeah, he was being racist before he hired you. Then you took the job. Do you think the racism was gonna stop, or, you know? And no? Okay. All right. You knew the man's unwell. You know he's not medicated. You see his antics everywhere. Yeah. But I guess we'll see him in court, you know, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny to be like, well, I know he hated Jews, LGBTQ people. I know he ran for president, threw his wife under the bus for having an abortion. I know he had his manager, like, interfere in the Georgia election. She's one of the people in the Georgia election interference case. But I don't know, man. I feel like I need to go work for him at this school. Crazy. Anyway, 0 to 100, right. Karen.
I guess a 25, cause I don't really care. I mean, okay. No, that sounds bad, but it's Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Kanye don't, you know, light flame when he's my five. I go, I don't care.
Okay. I think I give it, you know what? That's a good, you made a fair point. I'm going to go with 25 too. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, can't really pretend to be that mad.
Mm-mm, I am not.
All right, let's go to, let's do one more. There is
is this a hair care brand? Let me just make sure that this is right. Yeah. So there's a hair care brand that had, there was a viral TikTok from an employee or former employee. I would go to the bathroom at work every day and cry. Former worker says this popular hair care company treated her horribly because she was the only black woman. In a viral Storytime video, a woman called out Ebon New York, a popular hair brand in the black community, for icing her, the only black woman in the corporate office, out and allegedly firing her for no reason. In a Risa Tisa style video, is that what we're calling them? Though this series is about 30 minutes long compared to Tisa's hours long, Who the Fuck Did I Marry? Yeah, are we just calling all these Risa Tisa style now? If so, that's good branding for her, but people been making these confessional style talk to the camera videos for a long, long time.
Oh, okay. It's a style of video, and this is her
sitting
brand
in the car talking to the camera.
Yeah, people been doing that for a long
maybe
time.
Maybe the person that wrote this is not.
Are they Reese's?
Yeah. No. Reese's. Risa Tisa is her name.
Oh, Risa Tisa's. My bad.
And the person who wrote this is Stacy Fernandez, a freelance writer. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but it made me wonder if maybe they got introduced to the style of video through Risa Tisa or something.
I
or
can
maybe
see that.
That's just the way easy way to explain it to people who don't know what it is. Anyway.
I can see that.
She was initially skeptical about the lack of diversity in the office, since there were mostly Korean people and very few black folks at a company that caters to black customers. So, like the Korean hair spot in the hood. Samia's first day, she posted a funny TikTok to the brand account that immediately started to go viral and got a ton of positive comments, including people saying that the person behind the account needed a raise. Oh, shit. She was feeling happy that her content was doing well on day one, but later that evening she noticed the video had been deleted. When she asked about it the next day, she was told it had been taken down because there were too many negative comments, which she says she knew was a lie. From that day on, her coworkers started icing her out. They were speaking Korean around her, knowing she didn't understand what they were saying and couldn't participate in the conversation. Her supervisor didn't include her on a work trip to New York that everyone went on, effectively leaving her alone in the office. And when her coworkers did talk to her, they were rude. She went to HR about a hostile work environment, but the issues persisted for months, she says. And on top of that, she was micromanaged, unlike any other employee. While everyone else jotted down her daily task in a few bullet points, she had to give a detailed daily account of everything she did that day and the email she sent. Eventually, she says they made her give a recurring presentation to the CEO, vice president, and marketing team justifying her task. No one else on the team had to do that. She says the CEO also had a constant look of disgust on his face around her and allegedly told her he didn't understand her job and that she should leave if she was unhappy at the company. I even had to take a mental health leave because of this. It was messing with me every single day, the way that they treated me. She was soon transferred to another brand within the company where she was essentially a team of one and had a new supervisor who knew nothing about marketing because he didn't understand her job. He thought she was playing on her phone all day. She was actually editing videos. She says her manager accused her of doing the bare minimum and told her he was trying to get her fired. There's also an incident in which he booked her travel for a work trip. She says he booked her at a bug-infested motel where she didn't feel safe. When she called him about it on the verge of tears, he told her that there was nothing he could do and hung up. It was as clear as day that they did not care about me at all. They just wanted me to get some work done, and that was it. If I didn't want to quit, they were just going to have to show me that you need to just quit. It got to a point where she go to the office every day and cry in the bathroom. There's another incident in which her supervisor was yelling at her about how she doesn't do enough work, telling her the person who had the job before was better, she alleges. At that point, she decided to go to CEO, but instead of getting her issue addressed, she said she was written up for insubordination. Damn. Well, this sounds terrible. She regretted, so she took a mental health leave, came back. She regretted coming back immediately. She said, good morning through the halls on her first day. No one responded to her. I don't know why they're being so racist to you. If they don't like you, they might as well just fire you. I don't know why they still have you here suffering, one of her coworkers allegedly said to her. After months of HR complaints, she ended up getting fired due to lack of performance. This hadn't been brought up before, so she knew that wasn't a real reason she got fired, and she thinks it was because of her many HR complaints about the work environment and the people. So...
Yeah, Eben replied, Eben New York takes great pride in treating every employee fairly and equitably in a hostile free work environment. We'll review, blah, 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 you know that shit. Mm-hmm. All right, Karen, 0 to 100.
I'm going to give this one, I'm going to give it two scores. If everything this person is stating is true, it's a Jacarus. Like if they're stating everything that is 100%, they're 100% accurate. I'm going to give it a 100. If it's not true, you're still gonna get Jacarus, but in the other direction. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one of those things when you're in working environments. And shit, not even in working environments. When you go get your toes done, your nails done, and shit like that, they do that sometimes. But they kind of talk in another language. Mm-hmm. And people aren't stupid. You pick up vibes that they are talking about you, you know, sometimes. And it's just one of those things where it can be very isolating and it could be off-putting. And, you know, and it sounds like they literally was trying to do everything they could to make her quit. But they didn't want to fire her, you know, and it sounds like, you know, because that's the type of things that people do, you know. I hope she documented well. I hope whenever she was sending emails, you blind CC yourself. So you will have your own personal records off their server, you know, stuff, shit like that. So that, you know, when you take that, when you start taking these things to trial and things like that, or go being like, I contacted this person at this time, you know, you have a paper trail, because a lot of times this is about paper trail and what you can prove and what you cannot prove. And it's one of those things where it sounds like the system all around failed her. You know, the mechanisms that were in place didn't do what they were supposed to do. And, you know, it sounds like they're literally setting themselves up for a lawsuit. If everything that this person said is true, you're literally setting yourself up for a lawsuit, because it's the only, well, now, because we got rules, but, you know, you let the Republicans get in after a while, you won't be able to sue over shit like this. You know, what y'all need, niggas need to vote, you know, because they want to strip employees of their rights and shit like this, where, you know, you be in these bad working environments and you say shit and you quote-unquote, even if you prove it, they can quote-unquote toss it out, because as far as they're concerned, it ain't real harassment, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, it really bothers me, you know, a lot, you know. And it will bother me regardless of who the person is. You in the working environment and you're the only one of anything and you're dealing with this. It's not fair and it's not right.
Yeah, I'll give it a 75. For all the reasons you articulated, the only 25% I'm leaving off is I can't even imagine what the fuck their reasoning is going to be or whatever. Like, you know, it's the internet. We're only hearing one side, of course. Right. She could make it all up or whatever. And I get that. But I just intrinsically feel like the likelihood of this happening is high because it happens all the time. And then there's this other underlying fact that it's like the elephant in the room, which is that a lot of times the Korean community will come into our neighborhoods and cater to our needs, sell us stuff like hair products, get into nail salons, stuff like that. And a lot of times there'll be a lot of disrespect towards our community. Like, mm-hmm. they don't treat us like the customers we are. Mm-hmm. They don't treat it. They, like, you know, we've all heard the stories. We've all experienced it, being watched down like a hawk down every aisle, mm-hmm. being treated rudely at the checkout, you know, being accused of stealing, stuff like that. We've had, you know, people have had to deal with that. And so I know that that's affecting how I feel fucked with in this, because mm-hmm. you would hope that people would be like, we're Korean, we're catering to a black community, we need a black person to help do a social media outreach, we need to treat her well, we need to empower her. It's like all this stuff would just be hurting us,
right?
To treat her like shit and why even hire her in the first fucking place? Then,
right?
To take her video down, if that's how it happened, was
right.
They just for some fucking reason took the video down that was successful. that's a weird thing to do. And it's like, we see this all the time where people want the money from our community, but they don't want the community from our community.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the part that makes me go, like, instead of being like, oh, it could be either way, I'm like, nah, it's probably, I'm more inclined to believe it's what she said.
Agreed. And it's also one of those things where, you know, with things like this, the truth eventually, hopefully, will come out. And it's also one of those things where a lot of times people want the faces of our community, but they don't want the voices of the community. Like mm-hmm. they don't mind throwing you up in the photos.
Well, in this case, like I think it's even worse because she made a video and it was good, which means more than likely her face was in it or whatever. You yes. know, like, hey, this is a black brand. We making this. Da, da, da. To take that down feels like you don't even want our faces. Like, glad you hired me, you know? So, anyway, 75. Let's get to the last thing, sword ratchetness. A 29-year-old man was arrested early Monday morning for allegedly stealing an alcoholic beverage from a restaurant while armed with a sword.
Oh, no.
1:50 p.m.
Broad daylight.
The employee told officers that a man exiting the restroom.
Getting a lunchtime sippy-sippy, apparently.
I guess so. An employee told officers that a man exiting the restroom threatened an employee with a sword. Fresh out of the bathroom. The employee was able to safely flee, but he was hiding. Police said the man with the sword stole an alcoholic beverage from a cooler before leaving the scene.
Child, you can have that Michelob Light.
The restaurant provided security footage, which was distributed to the police officers. So they noticed about 12:15 a.m., a man was causing a disturbance, and they noticed that the man was wearing the same clothing as the street robbery suspect.
Didn't even change clothes.
So, I mean, does he have a change of clothes?
That's
this don't sound
question.
Like the behavior of a man yeah. that might have a lot of options mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah, I guess that's the uniform. Oh!
Yeah, it's a short sword, but it's still a sword.
Yes, it
like, that's
is.
Not a knife. It's knife. The blade is knife size, but the handle is a sword. And it came with a sheath.
Oh, no. You don't cut bread with that. You cut a body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they stopped this dude during a traffic stop. And, they gave him a verbal warning and pivoted to contacting the man causing a disturbance. The man, Shane Holbert, is a transient from Santa Rosa. He was detained while investigating. Officers found the sword used in the robbery. And he was arrested, booked on felony robbery.
We gave him a warning, and he got a knife that's not for butter, but can spread your blood. And we like, get a warning, get out of here.
All right, that's it, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back. We'll probably talk more articles and news tomorrow. I mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you check out those other shows we talked about at the beginning.
Yes.
And until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.